Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School. And here in Sunday School, we're doing the ABCs of Christian faith. And this week, we find ourselves on lesson S. And I don't know about you, but when I go through the alphabet, I get to element OP, then I'm on QRS, then I'm on TUV, and the next thing you know, the alphabet's over. So we are almost done with this series. We're on S this week. We'll be T next week. And, you know, if you're singing it in your head, you know where I'm at then when I say that. The alphabet's almost over. S is towards the end of the alphabet. And this week, as we consider the letter S, we are going to look at the principle of separation. And you know, my expectation, I'll just be honest with you, I have expectations. My expectation is the class understands the previous lessons that I taught. When you hear principle, you know there's principle, and you know there's precepts, and you know there's preference. And I'm going to talk a lot about some things that apply or imply obedience versus legalism. And so, like, all these, and another one would be the when we got to Q and we talked about questions. All these come together and work with each other. Every lesson works with each other every single week. And so this week we're going to talk about the principle of separation. And it's one of the most distinguishing features of Bible-believing Baptists, our belief in the principle of separation. And really, separation involves much of how we live our lives, how we conduct church, how we interact with the world. Is all based, whether you claim it or not, it's all based on separation. And in a word, separation, it's synonymous with standards. That's what it means to us. It means standards. And it's easy to turn a study of standards into a list of do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. However, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about legalism and obedience. I don't want to give you this list of this is what you're going to do, because then we're going to get into a split in hairs. You know, should we eat at Applebee's and own a TV and have a Christmas tree? And those fall under Q for questions. And look at that lesson and look in the Bible and find those answers out yourself. So see how everything's wrapped together? I want to tell you what the Bible says, and we understand what God expects Christians in a day-to-day life of separation. So it's not going to be a list of do this, don't do that. Because again, we wouldn't agree. And we would fight, we'd split hairs, and it'd turn ugly. So we're not going to do that. So what is exactly meant by separation? Well, there are four biblical words that have the same meaning. They have the same meaning in the Hebrew and the Greek. And those four words are separated, sanctified, holiness, and saints. When you run across in your Bible reading any one of those four words, they all mean the same thing. Separated, sanctified, holiness, and saints. And what they mean is, they mean to be set apart. It means to be set apart. And when the Bible, let me give you an example. When the Bible says that God is holy, it means that He is set apart from all creation because of His righteousness. God is holy. He's set apart. The Bible says of itself that it is set apart from other books. When the Bible says that Christians are told to sanctify the Lord in their hearts, that means we are to set the Lord apart from everything else in our hearts and minds and lives. So when we see those words, that's what it means. It means to set it apart from everything else. Now there are two aspects to separation in the Christian life, and one we will call positional separation, and one we'll call practical separation. Positional separation is this: in Christ, a Christian is set apart unto God. Now, you can write this down, because I would encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. I would actually start reading verse 9 and then read verse 10. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, at the end of that verse, it says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So through Jesus Christ's offering, we are set apart. So that's our positional separation. Now, practical separation is a Christian is able to live set apart. We're supposed to be able to live set apart unto God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 15. Or 1 Peter, which was it, chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 of 1 Peter says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." So again, holiness, sanctification, separation, saints, those words all mean to set apart. And we are to be able to do that. We are to be separated to the Lord and separated from ungodliness. Amen. Easy to say.
Right.
Easy to say. Easy to say from up here. Hard to live. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that here in a second. And there are many passages of Scripture in the Bible that you can go to and that we could drill on, and we could just go from one passage to another, that teach that Christians are to live set apart. It's a principle. Remember that. It's a command. You are to live set apart from the world. And we are commanded to put sin out of our lives and to avoid fellowshipping with the evil things of the world. We're commanded to do that. What I want to do this morning, again, many passages we could consider, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. If you know anything about Ephesians chapter 5, you're like, what in the world? This is a weak chapter to deal with separation. I don't believe it is. I believe it tells us exactly what we need to know. Ephesians chapter 5. I've prayed a lot about this and did my best to study Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at the first 21 verses in Ephesians chapter 5 to talk about what the Bible says about separation. And then we're going to get into the benefits of separation, and then we'll wrap up the lesson from there. So let's just see what the Bible says about separation in one passage here. So what it talks about here, and you can just, like, you look right at the heading of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, my Bible says, walk in love. And then you actually go, well, how is this done? What does this mean? Love who? Love what? What does this have to do with separation? Well, the whole chapter is going to tell us. It's devoted to the instruction about separation and being set apart from evil things. But let's just read the first three verses. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So you see verse number 2 says, walk in love. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you're supposed to walk around smiling, I love you, and I love you. You're supposed to walk. You're supposed to conduct your daily conversation and your daily tasks like you are loved by Jesus Christ. That's how you're supposed to walk in love, knowing that you are saved. That's what that means, to walk in love. It says, you therefore, and how do I know that? Well, because all of chapter number 4 is talking about putting on the new man. So it's talking about people who are saved. So once you put on the new man, once you are saved, you get to chapter number 5, and the first thing it says is, be ye therefore followers of God as your children. We're not talking about followers of God in a way where we're talking about following His pattern for life. That's what we're talking about, not just claiming to be a Christian at this point. He's actually talking about a systematic approach to how you should structure your life. And the first thing he says you should do is walk like you're loved by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that changes how you walk.
That's right.
When you think about Jesus Christ and you think about what He's done for you,
right,
how He gave His life for us, how He's forgiven us of our sins, how He's made a home in heaven for us. Well, that should change how you walk.
Right.
It should. And that's what the Bible says here. So separation is involved in true Christian. That's already said. If you walk different than your neighbor who's not put on the new man in chapter 4, then you're already set apart different from them. You're different from them. So separation is involved in true Christian love. And again, that's not brotherly. We're not talking about brotherly love. We're talking about the acknowledgement that Christ loves us.
That's right.
That's totally different. In separation, now look at this. Let's start in verse number 3. Let's go down to verse number 11. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So what I get right here is separation. Now listen to me, because if you're struggling with this, separation is careful. I mean, it takes some care to avoid these things, because Jesus told us that all these things are inside of us. This is when they come out of man, it defiles us. So it takes some care. It takes purposeful and strict living. You can't just wake up on your own and live a life that's separated. And we'll tell you how. I'll show you what, because this passage tells us how to live that life. But I'm telling you what, separation is careful, it's purposeful, and it's strict. You want to live different? You want to live set apart? You're going to have some discipline in your life.
Amen.
You're going to have to. God commands it. Didn't say it was easy. Didn't say it was easy. But Christ died for you. So you're supposed to walk in that love as you live this way. Now, what's the cause of separation? Well, verse number 3 says that we're separated because we have a new position. Verse number 3 says, as becometh saints. You're saved now. If you're saved, you're a saint. If you're a saint, that means you're set apart. Look at verse number 8 also. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. And then it tells you, walk as children of the light. That means to set apart the way you walk, different from the people that aren't the light. It's very obvious. People who are like, well, standards. I mean, this is pretty clear. I mean, I know we don't normally think of Ephesians chapter 5 for a chapter on separation, but you're supposed to walk like the light if you're children of the light. And it says right there in verse number 8, walk as children of light. I don't think there should be anyone that says, well, what does that mean? If you're saved, you know what that means. It means you're not supposed to walk like children of darkness. You were darkness. Remember how you walked back then? Now, of course, there's testimony after testimony. People saying, when I got saved, this was removed. That doesn't happen to everybody for everything. Praise God when it does happen to certain things. But there are certain things that you had when you were in darkness that's clinging to you and just pulling you and wanting you to continue to participate in these things just like you did when you were in darkness, but now you're in light. So that's why you have to be careful, purposeful, strict, and disciplined and say, no, I need to walk in love. Jesus is love towards me. I need to walk that way because I'm saved now. That's standards. That's being set apart. Now, again, we don't separate in order to be saved, but because we have been saved, we want to separate. We want to be obedient. We want to. And we separate because we have a new spirit. Look at verse number 9. Here's a parenthesis, verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. We have a new spirit now that we're saved. So we should be able to walk different. And I'll tell you about that here in a second. And we separate because we have a new purpose. Look at verse number 10. This is what I do. When there's a parenthesis and I'm in my Bible reading, I read it just like it said, but then I'll read it one more time and I'll take the parentheses out because the parentheses is a pause. It's just, it's extra words, but I don't want to lose the meaning of it. So look at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See, if you read it the other way, you would think verse number 9, it's the Spirit that's supposed to prove what's acceptable to the Lord. No, the Spirit's going to convict you, and John talks all about that. But you, verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What are you supposed to be doing? You are supposed to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You are. You saved people. We're supposed to be set apart. We have a new spirit. And now, according to verse 10, we have a new purpose. What's our purpose? proven what's acceptable to the Lord. What does that mean? That means demonstrating. That means, you should understand what proving means. But now look at verse number 11. Separation involves a rebuke of sin. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Being set apart from sin is active as well as passive. God tells the Christian not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But the responsibility doesn't stop there. It says that. It absolutely says that. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. That's passive. But then it gives an action. It says, reprove them. Now, if you don't know what reprove means express disapproval or criticize. Now, what the Bible doesn't say is how you're supposed to do that. And I'm not going to tell you how you're supposed to do that. Because that takes discernment and it takes circumstance, it takes context. But there is a way you're supposed to express disapproval. Whether it's your children, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a brother and sister in Christ. The Bible says that you're supposed to reprove them when it comes to sin. It doesn't say you're supposed to avoid them. You're to avoid the sin, but not them. But you're supposed to reprove them. Separation means being different. Not avoiding sinners, but avoiding sin. The Christian is not told to avoid the sin, but the sinner's works. Now, there again, like I said earlier, there's two aspects of separation. I said we are supposed to separate from and separate to. I said that. Well, so does this passage. In verse number 3 again, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were once sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So we are supposed to separate from all evil. That's what verses 3 through 8 says. And then verse number 9 says, we are to separate unto all righteousness and truth. That's what we're supposed to separate ourselves to. Now, again, let's start reading verse number 12, because this is a new text, 12 and 13. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, separation is important testimony for those people who are lost. You know, when you say, yeah, I know. I used to do that. That is a great opportunity to say these next words. But now I'm saved. And remember I said not too long ago that it takes you 6 weeks to leave a habit. It takes you 6 months for the people you love to recognize you lost that habit. It takes a lot. Sometimes it takes longer than that. And they look at you through that lens. And it gives you an opportunity to say, yeah, I know. That had a stranglehold on me. That attitude or that habit or whatever it is. It consumed me. And let me tell you, sometimes I still deal with it. I don't want to, and here's why. I'm saved. That being separated, being set apart, is a testimony for the light to the darkness. That's what verses 12 and 13 say. Separation is necessary for spiritual growth also. You're like, man, I've been saved for a while and I've kind of just plateaued. Well, look at your standards. Have you grown any? Well, where are you getting that? Look at verse number 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now you're like, what in the world? What does that have to do with separation? Well, let's be honest with you. Everyone around you is dead. All your coworkers are dead. They're dead. And you arise. That means you got saved. You're different than them. That's how you grow. I mean, has your partner ever not been asleep in the bed and you arise? And what do? You don't just conduct your life. You set yourself apart from the bedroom or they kill you. And that's what it says. It says, wherefore it says, awake thou that sleepest. We're different. I'm now set apart. I've awoke. People talk about being woke. I've woke to Jesus Christ. I'm awake. I'm awake. That means the more awake I am, the more alive I am compared to those that sleep and those that are dead. That's just metaphorically people who aren't saved. Those are people. When you're dead, you're in darkness. When you sleep, you're in darkness. When you're awake, you're in light. And when you arise, you're in light. That's what they're saying in verse number 14. It's not too weird. They're just saying when you're set apart and you're saved and you act like it, then Christ shall give thee light. You grow. You mature. Verse number 9. Well, let's keep reading. It says, separation is necessary. I love this. Separation is necessary for making one's life count to the fullest. Verse 15. Seeing then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. What the will of God is? Be separate. Be set apart. Have standards in your life. Live different. Live different. That's what that means. That's what that means. And this whole time, I'm reading this and I'm saying, but how? How? I can't do it. I'm not disciplined enough, obviously. I'm not strong enough. I can't do it. Look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, God commands His people to separate from sin, but He does not tell us to do this in our own power. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. You're saved. We're talking to saved people. The moment you got saved, you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God inside of you. And we are to conquer evil through the power of the Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that we've heard about in preaching, that same Holy Spirit. I mean, you're struggling with something. You're like, I know we're supposed to have standards. I know I'm supposed to be set apart. But this has got a hold on me. If you're saved, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you and willing and waiting to help you conquer that. Now, preachers always said this, but when you're trying to be set apart and you have something that's got a stranglehold on you and you want to replace it or you want to get rid of it, you should always replace it. Replace it with something good. And here it gives you some examples in verse number 19 about something good in the realm of music. But that applies to everything. You have something that you need to have some more higher standards on. You need to be set apart from. You need to get rid of it through the work of the Holy Spirit. And you need to replace it with something else. Here is the power to overcome every evil habit. Right here, this chapter. Every evil habit. To say no to the world's temptations and to the devil's enticements, you can't do it. But praise God, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of you can. Now, here's what's interesting. If you know anything about Ephesians chapter 5, it goes right into verse 22. Starts talking about wives and husbands and children. You know why it does that? Because they are supposed to live set apart because the culture they were living in didn't live like this. And so Paul's on a roll talking to Christians about how you're supposed to live different, which we just looked at in the verse 21 verses. And then he says, oh, and another thing, you're supposed to live different in this way too. And we get lots of marital advice, wisdom, and counsel in the following verses, which we're not going to cover today. But that's why they're there. Because it's different than the marriages of that day. And if you've ever studied the marriages of that day, you think marriages of today are loose? Marriages of that day? Crazy. And Paul says, live different, wives and husbands and children. That's why all these are there. So let's talk about the benefits now of separation, of being set apart. And contrary to popular opinion, the practice of biblical separation brings great blessings. It absolutely does. I have Bible verses for these, but I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. But let me just tell you this. Separation, number one, it's obedience to God. You pray all the time. I know you do because I do. Lord, I just want to obey you. Help me obey you. Lord, I just want to be the best child I could be. Help me obey you. You want to obey God? Be set apart. Have some standards in your life. Separation is honoring to Christ. You're supposed to walk in love. We just read that. That means, not again, that doesn't mean just loving everybody. And the sun. I love people like that. Oh, the sunshine. Nah. You're supposed to walk like Christ loves you. Show it. So when you walk like that, separation is honoring to Christ. Separation then is love for Christ. That's one way to show that you love Christ. Separation is pleasing to Christ. You want to please? I just want to please you, Lord. Have some standards. I just want to please you, Lord. We pray that all the time. I do. Do you not? I do. I just want to please you. Get some standards. Be set apart. Have some separation. And let me tell you, separation is a way of protection. You know, first, separation protects the individual Christian. There's certain things in your life that you're just, it's harmful. It's harmful to your testimony. It's harmful to your body. It's harmful to your family. It's just separation. I mean, that's why there's sidewalks. You know, in my world of construction, we always have what's called pedestrian separation plan. A pedestrian separation plan keeps the pedestrians separated from the heavy equipment so no one gets run over. It's just protection. But not only is it protection to the individual, it protects the weaker Christians. You know, these aren't rules to be a member of Berean Baptist Church or rules to go to heaven. Separation, again, not only shows all these things for you to love God and honor God and obey God, but it protects you as a weaker Christian until you learn some convictions on your own. That's what separation does. It protects you. But let me also say this. Thirdly, separation protects our church from complete leavening. Leavening. If you don't know what that means, I'm giving a yeast reference found in 1 Corinthians and Galatians also. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We're lumps. Do you not realize you're a lump and I'm a lump? And you bring a little leaven in here in your own personal life, you're leavening the whole lump. That's what that passage is talking about. We're lumps. You need to live separated so that our church can be protected. So that we can honor and glorify God in the best possible way. And it requires everyone collectively to execute the standards and being set apart that they're supposed to. Because I'm a lump. You know, go to 2 John towards the end here. 2 John. Because separation is essential for a full reward in heaven. 2 John. It should just be one page. Look at verse number 8. 2 John verse number 8 says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Sounds like there needs to be a little separation there. And separation's hard. Not only are you supposed to separate from certain lifestyle choices or certain cultural temptations or worldly temptations, but it sounds like if you want a full reward, you might have to separate yourself from some people. And other places in the Bible, it talks about people being unbelievers, but it also talks about people being believers you might have to cut fellowship with. I don't know why you're here, but I'm here to receive a full reward. And you might have to do that. And that's one of the benefits of separation. Separation is also wisdom. Very wise. I don't know a man among us who doesn't say, man, when I die, I just want people to remember me as being wise. I mean, they're helpful, crafty. I want people to think I'm wise. I do. I'm just being transparent. Separation is wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, we're going to look at three different passages in Proverbs, and then we're going to be done. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Now, why do I say that? I say that because to exercise doctrinal discernment and to avoid error, which is a mark of wisdom, the prudent Christian tests everything with the Word of God. So if you're like, well, what standards do I need to have in this area? Well, looketh well to his going means you need to find out in the Word of God. And some things are obvious. You just know, yeah, that's dark. I'm not supposed to do that. Some things, again, you're going to be like, well, I shop at Walmart and there's this alcohol aisle. And everyone's different. And I'm not, everyone's different. But I'm telling you, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. But turn over to Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22, in verse number 3, it picks up on this idea of a prudent man. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." Now, I want you to understand right now. Look up here. That doesn't mean he's a coward. That hideth himself does not mean he's a coward. He foresaw the evil. And he says, for me and my house, you're not going to see us around that evil. That's what that means. Let's read it again. "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on." They have no cares. They're going to go join whatever that is. They're going to walk right into it. They just pass on. And they are punished, says the Word of God. Let me show you one more, because separation is a way to delight the Lord. Go to Proverbs 24. In Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 24, it says, "He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But him that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them." That's what we're supposed to do. You know, don't fear man and his threats and their popular philosophies of the day. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. So easy. I don't want to be canceled. What about my... Look what we just read. Don't fear that. Obey God's Word. Fight apostasy. Fight error. And compromise. Separate from those who are involved in these things as far as the actual things. Rebuke them, but stand for what's right. You are the light. Yeah, you know, let me just put it like this. And I think most people will understand this. Think about how you got ready for church this morning. I put a suit on. Now, I only put a suit on if I'm going to a wedding, a funeral, or church. This suit, maybe court. This suit is set apart from my lavish wardrobe of Walmart shirts. George. A lot of George shirts. Used to be Faded Glory, but they changed to George. Whatever, but I'm a fan. But my suit is set apart. I wouldn't mow the yard in this suit. That's dirty. I wouldn't garden in this suit. I wouldn't play sports, if I did play sports, in this suit. This suit is set apart. It's set apart for a special reason and a special occasion. That's a suit, and we all get that. We call that our Sunday best. And every single one of you have a certain dress or a certain skirt or a certain shirt or a certain tie that you go, no, 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 no. In fact, if you want to get out of your wife's work, wake up before she does, put a suit on, sit in the living room. She comes in. She's like, well, we got a lot to do today. You go, oh, You're wearing your suit? Now, my wife would be like, go change, you idiot. But they might be like, oh, you're set apart for something else today. Looks like you're not going to paint the house. The suit tells you that. It was that obvious. If you wake up before your wife and put a suit, it's that obvious that you are set apart for a special purpose just because of what you wore. It's that easy. And it's universal. Saints, sanctified, holiness, separated. We're that in the flesh to the world. We're set apart. They should look at us and be just as obvious as the guy sitting in his living room on a Saturday morning wearing a suit. Oh, I'm not going to tell that joke in front of you because you got some standards. You're set apart. It's obvious. I'm wasting my breath. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to offer you that. I'm not going to offer you this. I'm not going to say, come over here and look at that. I'm not going to do that because it's so obvious that you are set apart. That you have standards. It's hard. Sometimes it's embarrassing. I was at a pizza place one time and they were buying drinks for everyone. And I said, no. And they're like, oh yeah, you're John the Baptist, but he turned water into wine. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start because my name's not John and he didn't do that. But no. I said, you got one thing right. I am Baptist. And I said, I'm a teetotaler, but I like your pizza. I mean, you don't have to be ugly about it. They have good pizza there. And it is construction guys. Be set apart. You know, let me just say one more thing. In the Bible, it talks about holiness and all this. And there are some things that aren't people that God says in the Word of God that are holy. In Exodus, He talks about the ground being holy. Right there, He's like, this ground is holy. This ground is set apart. You know, the Sabbath day, this day, it was holy. It was set apart. Aaron's garments were mentioned in the Word of God in Exodus chapter 28 as being holy. They're being set apart. The altar in the tabernacle was holy. It was set apart for a certain purpose and for a certain occasion. That's what that meant. A holy person is a person who has become God's possession by the blood of Jesus Christ. It mentions two times in Mark chapter 6 and in Acts chapter 3. It talks about holy prophets and it talks about John the Baptist being holy. It says being and holy. That's how he described him. But here's one thing I want you to understand. Holy as a title never applies to humans in the Word of God. Well, why do you say that? Well, there's certain friends of ours that think Mary was the holy one or Joseph was the holy one or a pope is the holiness. Holy one as a title is reserved to God. Amen. Jesus Christ. Holy one, it's often used by God. In fact, the name holy is in Isaiah chapter 57. But God tells us in Ezekiel chapter 39 that He is jealous for His name. That's His title. Do you see the error that some of our coworkers have when they say certain people are the holy one, His holiness, your holiness? No. Jesus Christ is called the Holy One several times, and while men, again, are called holy in Scripture as a sense of sanctified unto God, the term holy never used as a title. It's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught, oh, your holiness. No. That's God's. We're supposed to be holy in relationship to being sanctified. And by the way, I cannot wait for preacher to preach Romans chapter 8. And we're in sanctification now, and we're talking about sanctification. And you know what he says? He says it's a process. You know why it's a process? Because everything I just said, it's hard. It's hard. Justification is instant. Sanctification is a process. But we need standards. Yes, search the Scripture. Find out what the Word of God says about whatever it is that you're questioning. But let me guess, if you're questioning, you probably already know the answer. Because you're questioning. It's that easy. God wants you to be set apart. He wants you to be holy. He wants it to be obvious. He wants you to be light. Light is obvious. Whoa, light. Light, that's obvious. He wants you to be that obvious to the world. All right, let's get ready for Big People Church.